Father, on the basis of faith in the name of your Son, Jesus, we all gather together tonight. We honor you as reverently as we can, Lord. We yield to you as open and yielded as we can, and we submit to you with a bold, renewed determination to walk by faith and not by sight. We stagger not at your promises, but we grow strong in faith. We take hold of your holy written word and ask that you would shine and illuminate and bring inspiration and clarity to us, substantial spiritual nutrition in each one of our hearts. As Jesus said, that we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. And I ask that you help me to minister with the strength that you provide and you supply. And I pray that I would speak your word as you would have me say, in the name of Jesus, with a hearing of faith. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. God bless you. Tonight, I want to go to Psalm 143, 5. And the premise I want to lay out for you is that faith is increased as we rehearse the word, which recalls previous divine encounters. Faith is increased as we rehearse the word. I believe as we take hold of the promises of God, it will stabilize our thinking. It will clarify our whole purpose for life. And Psalm 143:5 is, I think, just a great verse. It's amazing how one scripture can really impart something to you for months. Let's look at it. It says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. The psalmist is saying, I deliberately rehearse and ponder the previous divine encounters. I established my present attitude, outlook, view of life based on the remembrance of and the series of divine happenings that have taken place through the written word of God. I meditate on these things. I ponder these things. I focus on these things. With all the variables in the world demanding my attention and time, I deliberately look at the previous divine encounters, and then by that, I draw an increase in my life of faith. My confidence goes up. My sense of joy goes up. My purposes are renewed. A bearing comes to me through the predictable and unpredictable crises of life. This will be good for preteens, for 20s with their quarter-life crisis, midlife crisis. Psalm 143, I remember the days of old. Number two, I meditate on all your doings. And number three, I muse on the works of your hands. And then it says in verse 6, I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as in a parched, weary land. So here's what the psalmist is saying. He's going, I'm going to get right back to the promises of God. Let me show you a couple other verses. Psalm 77:11 says, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. I surely will remember your wonders of old. I'm going to ponder these things. I'm going to meditate on these things. I will remember. I will remember. Psalm 89:1, we've just done this for about a half hour. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. We used to sing a song in the, you know, in the early days. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the loving kindness, of the mercy, of the faithfulness, of the trustworthiness, of the reliability of the Lord forever. To all generations, I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. Hallelujah. It's good. Let's look up Isaiah 46:8 through 10. Isaiah 46:8. Look at this verse here. Isaiah 46:8. Remember this and be assured. See, this is really what I'm preaching toward. I'm preaching what Romans 10:17 says. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I heard a preacher put a little spin on it. Faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. It's an ongoing present discipline that we continually put our ear to the word of God. And the amazing thing is God funnels confidence into our lives and resourcefulness into our lives. And the result is we are assured. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I love the idea of assurance. It's the opposite of nervousness. Assurance is the opposite of inconsistency. Assurance is the opposite of worry and anxiety. Assurance is stable. Assurance is settled. And it's the byproduct of quality biblical remembrance. Remember, Jesus said when he commissioned us to receive communion, he did it at the Passover table. The Passover table to the observant, dedicated Jewish people is a statement of remembrance that God delivered the people out of the bondage of Egypt. And it's forever a memorial for us to remember that God delivers his people and he's faithful to generation after generation. And then Jesus pulls right up to that very same table and he takes up the bread and he takes up the cup and he says, it's completed now. This is the cup of the covenant of my blood which is shed for you, and this is my body which is broken for you. And he says, as often as you do this, you're putting into remembrance the Lord's death until he comes. We're not to be forgetful hearers, we're to be effectual doers. And this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Bible said, Jeremiah said this in Lamentations 3. It's very similar to this verse in Isaiah. Jeremiah prophesied it, as did Isaiah. The byproduct and the result of quality remembrance is that we have assurance. He said, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. This will help us when we go through ridiculous, irreconcilable seasons. Because the people of Israel went through a thing called the wilderness, and they went through challenging seasons. And yet, when things are bewildering, we have to go to what is clarifying. See, a lot of times we get obsessed on things that we can't really adequately figure out, that our systems and our abilities and perceptions aren't up to the level that can figure everything out. But what we do need to do, though, is go back to these amazing ancient truths, these previous divine encounters where God provided for the people manna in the wilderness and sustained them with water out of a rock, how God helped David to step up and with a power from heaven helped him to knock down the giant. The whole idea of God bringing us through is repeated again and again and again and again. Remember this and be assured. Isaiah 46, let's go back to it. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. He's even telling, hey, transgressors, sinners, wavering humanity, hey, get back on what is solid. Get up on the secure place. Get your mind back. That's why last week Patsy Caminiti quoted Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And I liked how she pointed out that that's an Old Testament statement that Isaiah prophesied to Israel, that we in fact have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. But what God is telling us to do is get rid of toxic thinking and get our minds renewed and get our hearts and our lives calibrated back toward the faithfulness and the consistency of the previous divine encounters. Come on. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Now look at the next verse. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Oh, that makes me shudder, man. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish my good pleasure. That is bold. You know, that's God is assured. He's got this thing all figured out. Commentators are guessing. There's so much guesswork. Guessing on the economy, guessing on the way nations are going to go. What is North Korea going to do? What is Iran going to do? How does that fit with the biblical pattern of prophecy? How does it fit with the politicized nature of things? What is going on with the whole subject of energy and, you know, all the oil-producing nations and where are our youth going? And all, I mean, these are valid questions, and people can start running in circles trying to figure them out, and yet God has his plans and purposes, and they shall not be thwarted. And the prophet Isaiah is urging Israel, and God is urging us to remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind. Remember the former things long past. For I am God, and there is no one like me. This is what I love about Jesus. He's the unique person of the universe. He's absolutely fantastic. And when people come up and tell me, oh, well, I believe he's a great teacher. The New Agers think he's a great channeler. People say, oh, he's one of the many prophets. It's like you're selling him short. You're selling him short. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. One of the things I love about a description Daniel had about God, he's the Ancient of Days. That's settling for me. I've always loved that. Remember, we had songs about that. Well, it really resonated in a worship service once. I heard that song and I thought, where is that? I looked it up in the book of Daniel, and he talked about how he drew near to the Ancient of Days and he got all of his information from the Ancient of Days. And I thought, well, that would be pretty reliable information. He's the Ancient of Days. Oh, man. Always has been, always will be. He's eternal. God is so eternal that you ought to have assurance about this. Faithful, 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 faithful. So when you pour through the pages of Scripture, man, it ought to cause your faith to increase as you rehearse it, as you ponder it, as you meditate on it. Listen, he said, things which have not been done, he says, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things which have not been done. Do you know the best is yet to come? Jesus said he's coming back to a glorious church without spot or blemish. Prophecy says that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. And when I read the prototype of the early church model, I'm fascinated at its purity, its power, and the performance of God through those basic folks who had embraced a holy God and had such great results. Aren't you fascinated by it? And yet the Bible says that this is to escalate and get better and better and better, undiminished. And in fact, it's our responsibility to rehearse these ancient truths and ponder this, remember this, and be assured. Be assured. This is actually what I'm preaching toward. This is my goal. I'm preaching for the result of faith toward God's faithfulness, for you to affix to your Father as a shepherd who loves you with an everlasting love, who understands you. I saw this movie, Gravity, with Sandra Bullock, and they're out in space, and there's a scene where she cries in space. And as a believer, it reminded me of scriptures of the value of tears. Like Hezekiah, when he found out he was going to die, and he turned his face to the wall, and the Bible says that he prayed, cried out to God, and he cried. And God saw his tears. The Bible talks about how he stores up our tears in bowls, meaning he cares about the emotional issues of our lives on such a heightened and pure level that there's no human comparison for adequate for it. God, when we think we've got a revelation on the fatherhood of God and how much he loves us, and we secure some ideas about that, we're just scratching the surface. He is, like David said, he's my shepherd and I shall not want. He meets all of my needs. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And he did it out of the context of a difficult circumstance because he knew God was so faithful. He had rehearsed these things. Now, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. And let me ask you a question. I'm going to do a Bible trivia question. What do the following words have in common? Tishri, Kislev, Nisan, Sivan, and Ab. Does anybody know what those... And no, they're not a muscle group. Anybody know? They're all months in the Jewish calendar. For the observant and devout follower of Judaism, the calendar was more than a way of marking time. It provided a ready-made way to recall annually God's dealings in the life of the nation of Israel. Let me read it to you again. It provided a ready-made way to recall annually God's dealings in the life of the nation of Israel. Nisan marked Passover. It was the time of Israel's deliverance from Egyptian bondage. Every year, observant, God-honoring Jewish people acknowledge the God of Passover. Sivan brought the Feast of Pentecost. In fact, that's when the church was gathered in Jerusalem. It was the day of Pentecost. And the people had gathered from all over to honor and remember and not forget. See, you could forget things. We could become forgetful hearers, and we could just let it leak out, and we could actually forget. We are called to be stirred up by way of reminder. It talked about a celebration. The Feast of Pentecost was a celebration of yet another bountiful harvest from God. And then Tishri took the people back to their wilderness wanderings through the Feast of Tabernacles and how they lived in booths and little tents and how God supplied sustenance for them throughout. And now we look back at the people we've inherited this amazing treasure from and see the markings of the previous divine moments and encounters of God. And then we draw from that, through that remembrance, assurance. We are a confident people. We are a stabilized people. We are a people who were once not a people, but now are the people of God. We have belonging. And let me tell you something. When I saw those people make that commitment in there, that's a big deal to me because of the intent of it, the ramifications of it, the depth of it, where they're going because of it, who they are in identification with it. Whew! That's a big deal. Hallelujah. Heaven stands at attention when a soul gets saved. Heaven rejoices. Angels rejoice. God rejoices over us with singing. I think God is cheering us on, don't you? I think God is looking at us saying, guys, I've got sustenance and substance for you. I've got healing for you. I've got answers for you that'll prevent you from growing cynical. I've got answers for you that will prevent you from yielding to doctrines of demons and the trickery of men and the manipulation of a world that's gone crazy. I've got answers for you before you could even form the questions. Recall this to mind and therefore be assured. Wow. This is why I'm preaching this. Each holiday in the Jewish calendar became a holy day. It's a high holy day, and it was a time of recalling, a time of repenting, a time of renewing old commitments to follow the God of Israel. And I say, why not establish a same kind of recalling? Become good at recollection of the faithfulness of God. The biblical layout from Genesis to Revelation, the amazing dealings of God for the people of Israel, which represents the church and so many other parallels. It shows the continuity, the continuum of God's goodness. But also itemize some of the cool stuff God's done in your life. How about Patrick, whose wife was out on a business trip and he was bored, so he went to the gym. That's where he collapsed and had a heart attack. And the guy that was right there who later said, I hated all this training for all this CPR and stuff because I never use it. Well, then he ended up using it. And it saved Patrick's life. And so we get to have Patrick longer. And he comes to church and I stand there. And my takeaway is, thank God, man, I'm giving him some praise. Lindsay's mom, Karen, who's a wonderful lady, had a terrible heart situation. But Lindsay has been practicing CPR on her doll since she was a little kid. And God had that all set up. That blesses me big time. You see, here's what the scripture says. We get these things and become biblical students, not so we can show off in church how many scriptures we have to memorize or we cannot show how underlined our Bible is, but we take these amazing truths and recall them to mind. Therefore, we have hope. Therefore, we have bearing. Therefore, we have substantial answers to the amazing array of weird challenges of life. And we have help and hope for people. And it's not superficial. It's not sort of, I hope so, I hope so. No, these are no-so realities. The God we serve is faithful. Be assured of this. He says, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's no one like me. He's without parallel. There's no substitute for him. All the counterfeits are just exactly that. They're substandard, inferior. They don't bring life. But God's word does. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the works of your hands. And it's coming from a guy who says, I stretch out my hands. My soul longs for you as in a parched land. Wow. This is important for us to understand. And basically the reason why I'm speaking this is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, Peter said, hey, listen, guys, I'm writing the second letter to you, and I'm doing this. It says, this now, beloved, hey, take time to realize you're beloved. Look at why Peter is writing again. That's why I'm preaching again. That's why we pray again. That's why we read our Bibles again. That's why we share with each other again. That's why we encourage each other again and again and again. And there's power in again. We're born again, and we need to understand the value of it, the potential of it, the spread of it, the necessity for people to respond to it. Sin is a terrible, terrible disease that causes eternal separation from God. It's a breach that cannot be spanned except through Jesus Christ. And because he came to impart a free gift of righteousness, we got to get a hold of this down into our core, be deeply assured, get resolute and deliberate about it, go, proclaim, share, turn, and encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today. We got to consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, in prayer, in action, in word, in deed. He says, stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Reminder. I remember people used to tie strings on their fingers. Now they've got little alarms on their phones, just little reminders. Patsy always says to me, and I keep forgetting, everything she says, would you remind me to do this? And I remember she's asking me to remind her, and I got to remind myself, what is she reminding me to remind her of? Sometimes I hit it, sometimes I don't. But with these truths, Peter is saying this. He's saying, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Look at the next verse. That you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Wow. We're to feed on these truths. And it says in Hebrews, it says he spoke in times past through the prophets and so forth. Now he's speaking through his Son, the living Word. And God wants us to become skilled at being stirred up, stirring up our sincere minds by way of reminder. Now, this is how we get rid of toxic thinking. This is how we change our thought life. And by the way, it is not sentiment. It's not an idealized view of the earlier days. But what it is it's a remembrance. It's exercising our memory. It's recollecting. It's making mention. It's being mindful of the essentials of God's faithfulness. And God's called us to this. We can do this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Peter said, and Paul said virtually the same identical thing to each other. These guys, personality-wise, were totally different from each other, but it's the same Holy Spirit. And these two men were apostles of the Lord Jesus and Bible writers inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Paul said this separately from Peter. He said, finally, brethren, it says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He said, to write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. Got to stir yourself up by way of reminder. Remember the former things God did for you. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, when Jesus is speaking to the church of Ephesus through John on the Isle of Patmos, he's saying, Ephesian church, you're awesome. You're doing so many good things, but this one thing I have against you, you've fallen and gotten away from your first love. And he says some amazing remedy. He gives like a recipe for change. He starts out with, remember your former deeds. The word former, the first deeds, is protos. It's the Greek word for prototype, for the first things, the initial things, the essential things. John said it this way. He said, as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk ye in him. So we're called to be stirred up by way of reminder and go to the essentials, that first love. This is what I learned in marriage. I learned this in marriage. When I first responded to and was attracted to my wife, It wasn't in order to have a bunch of kids, chauffeur them, take them to soccer, be the ATM, referee them between all their stuff, with counsel and all that kind of thing. It wasn't to just sort of occupy space in a house and have a TV watching partner. It was not just to clash with, which we did all those things. It was this, what was the first love? It was what we want to carry into the seasons when our kids all fly the nest into their independence and we take on steps in these upper days. It's like, I learned this as a youth. It's like, this is what sustains you, this first love thing. What got us in this in the first place? I was so lost. I was walking through an orange grove on a moonlit night in Southern California, so empty, so disoriented, so fearful, so empty, not having any understanding of who God is, but yet desiring to know truth. And I said, God, if you're real, show me. And God responded, and I got saved. And I don't ever want to take that for granted. Listen, man, Patsy said yes to me when I asked her to marry me. I don't ever want to take that for granted. I am the guy that gets to make her laugh. I am the guy that scored her in the midst of all the ridiculous other guys who wanted to marry her, and I got her. I got her. Yeah, I don't know. I'm shouting, and I mean it. It's like, oh, are you working that up, Pastor Jeff? No. No, I just see it the way it is. And I'm just telling it the way it is. Same thing here. I'm not working this up. We don't need steroids. We don't need hype because this is so substantial. It stands alone. It's just faith. God's, it's a lamp. It's been the assurance for people groups all over the nations of the world for centuries, for decades. People gave their lives for this. And here we are, the inheritors. Here we are. The Bible says there's a cloud of witnesses in the grandstands of heaven cheering us on. Amen. And that Hebrews chapter 12 thing about, listen, it says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, when at the game, at the stadium, there are people who did get tickets in what they call the nosebleed section. You know, that's so far up. I bought some drill bits years ago at Central Hardware. That tells you how long ago it was. And it was Black and Decker, and they gave you 2 free tickets to the Cardinals game. So I took my son Taylor, and it was when Ozzie Smith was still doing backflips. So this was the dawn of time. It's Babe Ruth, Ozzie Smith. But the only problem was the free tickets were in the nosebleed section up in the clouds. But yet we were there, and I remember Taylor saw it. Out came little tiny stick man Ozzie. I'm not kidding you. He was this big. Ozzie Smith was this big. But he did his flip. Yeah, it was before Jumbotrons. It was before any of that. He did his flip, and Taylor went, and then he fell asleep on my lap, and that was the end of the. That was it. That's all he wanted to see. Not so, however, with the cloud of witnesses. It says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses around us in the grandstands of the universe, cheering us somehow, and I'm not going to embellish this like there are these saints doing all this stuff incorporated in our lives. I can't extrapolate on that level. But what I can say is what the scripture says, they are present with the Lord, and somehow the grandstands of heaven are spiritually aware because it's the kingdom of heaven. And I'm convinced, I know Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. He certainly is the captain of the host. He certainly is cheering us on. He's guiding us with his eye upon us. And there's nobody like him. So we get stirred up. We eliminate toxic thinking. In fact, we stir up our sincere minds by way of reminder. We take hold of this so that we can have that assurance. Let's take hold of. D, days of remembrance, where we jot down some things the Lord has done. My wife writes down in yellow tablets prayers, and she'll find them later, and they will have been answered. And she'll read them to me, and I'll remember the anguish around the need, and I'll remember how we felt during those times, and how insurmountable those things seemed at the time. And then to look and pull up the moments of them by way of remembrance, and go, God heard, and God answered, and God is faithful. So when I see people get in those waters, husband and wife, the couple kissing, the little kids, I think, praise God. There are young champions. There are new beginnings. There are seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. This I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. Now, Lamentations chapter 3, hallelujah. And I'm going to have you read this out loud. We're going to look at it in the New American Standard, Lamentations 3:19. And he starts out negative, and he has to shift gears. He says, remember my affliction, my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Verse 21, let's all read this together. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's read verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. Look at verse 26. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Listen, Thomas A. Kempis said this. Thomas A. Kempis, he said, a pure, honest, and stable spirit is not distracted by a lot of activity. He does everything to honor God and is at rest within himself. He's at rest within himself. He seeks to be free from all selfishness. Let's lift up our hands. Father, today we rehearse the Word of God and recall your previous divine encounters. We see that you were faithful to Israel and the Passover, the providing of manna in the wilderness. We see you provided a lamb for Abraham, a ram in the thicket. We see that you parted the Red Sea. We see that you did these major miracles. We believe in the miraculous. We believe in a supernatural God. We believe that he is more than enough. I'm a big believer in this. There's nobody like you. You're fantastic. You are amazing, and you are trustworthy and reliable. We lay aside our pettiness. We lay aside all our inferior assessments of you in favor of just simple, childlike, big-time honking trust in God. God, I trust you. And I pray the blessing of the Lord would just pour out in this place. I thank you, Lord, you're declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times. I thank you, Lord, that you're the Alpha and the Omega, the things that we're scratching our head on, you have all figured out. And we roll our cares on you, and we trust you. We trust you in this economy. We trust you with the decisions in the future increments of our lives. We trust you with our kids. We trust you with our city. We trust you with our church. We trust you with our town. We thank you that the plan of God shall surely come to pass. The plan of God shall surely come to pass. And God, we trust you. We lay aside all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, murmuring. And we just ask that you help us to maintain bold, childlike faith. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.